Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach. He is Darren Bunch out in California. Thanks for making us a part of your regular podcasting routine. We are on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Player FM, and now, as you know, at the all-new GolfTripX.com. You can find us as well at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find Darren at Getaways Golf on Twitter and at Golf Getaways on Instagram. And you can find me on both Twitter and Instagram at Mitch Lawrence, LAURANCE. Today, those of you who listen to the podcast know that normally Darren and I go back and forth, have some fun, talk about some various things. But today we're going to skip the normal formalities and jump right into our conversation with John Cannon. And I don't think anyone deserves us skipping our formalities more than John does. He is the president of the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail in Alabama. And just a quick bunch of numbers for those of you who may have been living in a cave who play golf and are not familiar with the RTJ Trail. It opened in 1992. It now has 26 golf courses on the trail, 468 holes across 11 sites, all in the great state of Alabama. And by my count, give or take a few thousand rounds, there have been more than 12.5 million rounds of golf as of 2018 played on the trail. And I guess I have to say, I don't even know what that number is really. Maybe John can tell us. The trail is home to not only some of the best courses we can all play and to experiences that you and I can have, but also to a number of professional events in the past and at the present time as well for the best players in the world. So there is indeed something for everyone. And you can find all the info you need to know at these, what I think is really a spectacular website. I don't say it often. A lot of websites are just kind of informational and throw some things on there. But when you go to rtjgolf.com, you will be blown away by the entirety of excellence that this site holds. So we're thrilled to have John on the show. John, welcome. Darren and I welcome you to Talking Golf Getaways.
It's a thrill to be with you guys and to reconnect with both of you. It's been a long time. So thanks for having me, and thanks for helping us once again get the word about golf in Alabama. We're really proud of it, and we're thrilled to be on the show today.
Well, John, you know, thanks so much for being on. And one of the amazing aspects, I think, of the Robert Trent Jones Trail is how it came to be. I still think there are a lot of golfers who show up and play one of your mini courses and don't realize that Dr. David Bronner had such a much bigger vision beyond just building a few golf courses when he came up with this idea of the trail.
Yeah, it's probably what attracted me to move from South Carolina to Alabama in the first place, isn't it? This wasn't just about golf. Golf is the centerpiece of everything we do, but it really is. This was aimed to be an economic development and tourism story that would change the face of Alabama. And Dr. Bronner, back in 1990, conceived of this. And frankly, you know, it took a little bit of, insanity, some money, a little bit of money and a lot of political capital to make this thing happen to begin with. I don't think you could do it today anywhere. It's been tried. But to end up what we've been able to accomplish with Dr. Bronner's vision at 11 sites, and Frank, we'll be over 13 million golfers as of this year. We attract golfers from every state of the union every year, and I think we went over. We reached the 50 state mark the first week of April this year, which is always exciting for me to see that everyone from around the country eventually finds out about the trail, and if you really love golf, they'll eventually make their way here. So we got golfers from all 50 states already here this year, and I believe we're at 18 foreign countries already this year. So, and once again, it's tourism, but it's also economic development, bringing and helping justify some economic development in all the communities we serve, and helping the state attract business. It's been a part of my central role since I came to the trail over 20 years ago, is to help whatever we could do to bring new business to Alabama and new golfers to visit the state. So it's exciting. It never gets old. And I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Well, and Dr. Bronner, when he started it, you know, it was an investment basically for the retirement system, correct? And just really, not only did he want to boost tourism, which you've totally done, but also help people in the retirement system. And I'm guessing that bet of his has paid off very well over these many years.
Yes, there's no doubt that you know, the trail on its own is obviously been built to be a profit center for the retirement systems of Alabama, which is, I believe, over 380,000 members, public employees, school teachers, police, firemen, and so forth. But once again, we have eight hotels as well that are part of our portfolio. The RTJ Resort Collection, we call them, which are Marriott and Renaissance, and now an Autograph Collection hotel, that are just all fantastic destinations, not only for golf, but for spas, leisure, fine dining, and so forth. So once again, it's just it's a very successful business, and it really helps the entire state of Alabama, not just those 380,000 pension holders.
And you mentioned you moved from South Carolina. What, you know, what attracted you? What brought you to Alabama to be a part of the trail?
Well, frankly, it was, you know, I had a couple of friends from Hilton Head who started with the trail earlier, one at the very inception that I had worked with, and one came along a couple years later. And somewhere around 97, 98, I got a call and said, would you be interested in, you know, taking a look at this opportunity in Alabama? And of course, you know, why would I do that? Right? Why would I do that? You know, that's just, you know, I lived in Hilton Head, worked in Hilton Head for 11 years, in Myrtle Beach for a couple of years, living a good life. And, you know, I finally agreed to come over sometime in 98 and take a look. And I met this really crazy person who's my predecessor in my role now, and Bobby Vaughn, who was the first president and CEO of our company. And we met in a little town called Prattville, Alabama, which is 10 miles north of the state capital. And it was just, I'll never forget that day. It was a river of red mud, right? It was just raining. It was miserable. There was D8s pushing mud everywhere, and they're trying to make sense out of, okay, what are we going to do here? And I'm standing on this property with Mr. Vaughn at the time, and I just, Bobby, this is spectacular. I mean, this is a great idea, but, you know, you're building 54 holes in a town of 19,000 people. There's a partner hotel under construction. I had 54 holes in Hilton Head, the, you know, one of the golf capitals of the U.S., and we always found it hard to make a living. How do you plan to do that here in Prattville, Alabama? And he just says, I got no damn idea. That's going to be your job. and I'm just stupid enough to, you know, that's a hook. And boy, that's a challenge. And, I flew home that night, and I didn't have the guts to talk to my wife about it for a couple of days, frankly. And finally, it was like, hey, I think we're going to be heading to Prattville, Alabama. And she started talking to me a couple of years later again. So it worked out okay.
It's so great. It's interesting because Bobby Vaughn, and this will always be on my list, was the director of golf in Tanglewood.
Yep.
Which
yep.
is where I met my wife.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah.
Right.
So small Ava? World. Yes, Ava. Yep.
Yep.
And it was at the old Vantage Championship.
Absolutely.
That they used to have, and she was doing a pool exhibition, and so Tanglewood obviously has a special place for me and for you.
Absolutely.
You're talking about, Darren, we've been talking about the scope of this thing, and lest people think that it was just, okay, we're going to build here and we're going to build here. That wasn't the way it happened. I read that Dr. Bronner said, I don't do windows and I don't just do 18s. And he didn't just say, let's build one or two courses and see how this goes. You want to talk about insanity. He wanted to build 378 of those holes on 8 of the sites all at the same time. I can't believe that there's ever been a more ambitious project in the history of golf.
Yeah, it's when you look back, and I wasn't with the trail at that time. And, you know, I'm somewhat jealous of the guys that were crazy enough to be a part of that project at that time, because, you know, when I got here in 98, you know, we got to do 3 new projects, but it took us 6 years, right? And to do actually was 7 properties all at once. And I'm talking 440 miles between, you know, the northernmost site and the southernmost site, 400 pieces of heavy equipment, and all the moving parts that had to come together with Mr. Jones' team and his construction crew, Roger Rolrich, Bobby, and all those guys. Ricky Hugh, who's still with us today, was the, you know, managed construction. To get it all done and to do it, you know, with the vision of Dr. Bronner, it's you've got to be somewhat a little bit crazy to be even try it. But then to be as successful as we were, and you know, we learned a few lessons along the way. But Dr. Bronner's vision was, if I only build a couple of 18-hole facilities, I'm not really a statewide destination, am I? You know, I've got to get people to come places and stay for a few days, go to the next places and stay for a few days. That's how you create tourism. And it's really been, it's a remarkable success story.
You mentioned Roger Rulwich, you mentioned obviously Robert Trent Jones, Sr. The big question I always had from the first time I heard about this whole thing was, how did Dr. Bronner possibly... He could have gone out and gotten 11 different architects and said, or 8 at the time, and said, okay, I have a great idea. We'll give you a chance. But instead he said, I want a name. I want a legendary person. And he goes out, how in the world, Robert Trent Jones at the time was way up there in semi-retirement. How did he get him to agree to put his name on this?
Well, first of all, Dr. Bronner understood the power of branding. Okay. And, you know, he's got 2 doctorates. He's obviously a very successful investor. He's taking a pension fund from $600 million when he took over, to over $40 billion in net asset value today. So he understood, and had invested in some very different projects all over the country. In his time, even before the trail, but he understood the power of branding and really attracting golfers, what a name would mean. Because, you know, the Alabama Golf Trail, okay, that sounds fine, okay? But getting a name attached to it that golfers knew, understood, and then getting a constancy and a consistency to what golfers could expect over 7 to now 11 sites, really required one vision. And bringing in Mr. Jones and his team and Roger is kind of like, he's the guy that answered the phone, basically. You know, all the other golf architects, and you can pick any name you want from 1990 who was out there and who was high profile and successful, got the same letter from Dr. Bronner. And every one of them thought, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's not going to work. They didn't even answer him. Right?
Unbelievable.
But Mr. Jones, you know, he picked up the phone and made the call, made the visit, and brought Roger with him. And they looked at a couple of the potential sites. And you know, it just became a marriage that was meant to be.
That's pretty amazing. You know, at Talking Golf Getaways and Golf Trip X, we're all about trying to help golf travelers make vacation decisions, whether it's couples or foursomes or guys on buddy trips or large groups doing their annual trip. So what's the pitch for the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail? What should golfers expect when they say, yeah, let's do Alabama this year? And also, I'm always interested, what might surprise them when they get down there?
Well, you know, the pitches we have, and I don't think I could say this when I got to the trail, because Mr. Jones had a fairly penal vision for golf course architecture. And some of the theories behind what we were going to do is, at that time, you know, in 1990 to 92, when we were, you know, first developing and designing golf courses, it was the, you know, and I think Dr. Bronner uses Pete Dye's PGA West as an example. You know, you had to be hard to get noticed. Mm-hmm. Right. And when we opened up all of our original facilities, we had some really hard golf courses. Oh, my God. And people, yeah, they remembered us. Okay, they came and they remembered us. And I would say what we've been doing in the last 15 years is understanding that, you know, frankly, the environment for golf travel is different these days. And there is a market for difficult golf, but there's also a market for a flexible design. So what we've been doing, and of course, when you build seven properties, 378 holes at one time, guess what? They all start getting a little tired at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So, right. That's a good point.
The great thing that we have is having an ownership such as Retirement Systems understood that. And we have not had a year in 13 years where we haven't been renovating at least one of our golf courses. And when we renovate, we do some redesign. So I think what would surprise people is if, okay, it's Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail, I think it's going to be really hard. Well, you know what? We can set it up hard. You know, we host tour events. We can make the golf course as hard as we want, but when you renovate now, we put Ultradorf Vita greens down, so they're firmer and faster than they were back in 1992, which then requires you to change the slopes on the greens. They can't be as extreme as they were then. We expand hole locations. We bring greens down generally a little bit. So what we have now, it's an amazing. When I look back when we opened Capitol Hill, that was my first project in Prattville. On a Saturday morning, you know, we'd do 600, 700 rounds on a Saturday in spring and fall back then. And it would be hard to find a woman playing golf there. It would be nothing but, you know, 8 guys from Chicago, 16 guys from Minneapolis, and so forth. And now you go down there on a Saturday, and I would say 20% of your 20 to 25% of your customers are women. And some of that is, we're more playable now from different tees. If you play the right set of tees, you can really have fun playing golf. The people that played, and I talked to some of the tour players that played what was back then, you know, starting the Ben Hogan Tour or the Nike Tour Championships that we had in Dothan and Mobile back in the early to mid-90s when we first opened. They were so hard. Every one of those tour players hated us, right? Right? So it was... And if they had trouble playing it, just think how the average golfer was challenged. And now today you find that we can create that challenge with hole locations and green firmness and speed. You know, we just had web.com. We hosted, 4 weeks ago, I believe, 3 weeks ago in Prattville, where we used to hosted their tour championship. And it doesn't sound like much, but 15 under won. Okay. Yeah. 15 under on that tour is a pretty high score. These guys go deep, you know, but we had wind, we had firm and fast greens. And by the way, we only had 6 weeks to prepare for the course because we filled in a hole for the Web.com tour when they lost the Mexico event. So, it's the things that I really like that I think is when you come to the trail, when you travel from one site to another, you pretty much know what to expect. You're going to see quality. We reinvest in every property every year, and our goal is always to make it better and more fun every year for everybody that's visiting the trail.
I think it's interesting. You talk about the consistency for one thing, from place to place is a huge deal. I've found as I'm going on to different spots on the trail. Another thing though, about the playability that you mentioned, I see that the most in one of the newer golf courses, and one of my favorite places to play in the country is Ross Bridge. And I mean, there's so much really width out there. There's a lot of drama in that golf course, and there's a lot of great subtleties to the greens, and they're big. And but there's just, you've got to really kind of hit it in the water or be hitting it really bad to be losing golf balls at Ross Bridge. And to me, I think that's really a strength. And I've noticed that over the years I've been coming to Alabama, and when I've gone back to other properties, that you're beginning to do that more with the other golf courses. And I just think that's a winner. I mean, we talk about it, Mitch and I, all the time on the podcast, that the less time people spend looking for golf balls and the more time they spend hitting golf balls is what makes golf what we all want it to be.
I'm glad you appreciate it. Ross Bridge is first of all, it's a resort course. And by the way, it's the only one. Somehow we finally talked Dr. Bonner into doing just 18 holes.
Right.
And Darren, as you know, that property, we could have built 36 holes on it easily. It's that big. Okay.
But if you build a short course there, I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to come spend a couple of days and just play a short course, because that property is so great.
We have some fun building short courses too. We've got some great par three courses. But what we did at Ross Bridge was take advantage of the scope of that site to build width into the fairways. You know what? Yes. And we held the Regents Tradition, the Champions Tour event there for 5 years, where you could then, you can give them a lot of width. But then hole locations are, you can tuck hole locations. You've got some false fronts, and you got some water that you got to deal with that strategically give you many options. If you want to play it safe and play it wide, you can. It's really hard, there for a good golfer to actually get in trouble off the tee. But if he's not putting the tee ball where he wants, scoring is another matter. And that's what's really fun about Ross Bridge and actually our two courses that we built simultaneously in Muscle Shoals at the Shoals facility. It'd be kind of the same thing up there because we had so much room. And, looking back at 92, the properties that we were able to get, we weren't able to get that much width out of them. Most of them are very tightly tree lined and rolling terrain, but it's fun how design and the adaptability of design has evolved over the years. And you see it with some of the, I like to visit some of the newer destinations. A lot of what Mike Kaiser has done, obviously at Bandon Dunes and Sand Valley now, and what they've done down at Stream Song, once again, they've done the same thing. They're finding properties, first of all, with sand base and width, and creating really fun golf courses that way. But anybody can play them.
Let's stick with one thing that you just mentioned. Actually, we talked about it a little, you mentioned it a little while ago, which is that the scene now has changed. Obviously, time has gone by since the trail first opened, and you mentioned all these other destinations. But the trail really was one of the first destination golf tourism spots in the United States before it became certainly what it is now. As more of those places come online, how do you compete in a certain way for golfers at a time when they obviously have other places they can be thinking about going now?
Well, I think, it's just like any other business. You have to be aware of your competition, and you have to respect it. And I actually admire it all. I mean, I really do. I admire, I go back to my time in Hilton Head. I admire what Sea Pines has reinvested into their golf courses there. because that's the only way they could stand out and really survive in the competitive environment. And I think that's what we do well. I don't, you know, we can't try to be something that we aren't, but we also understand what golfers, you know, we listen to them. We also understand what they expect from the experience. And when you look at the total market for travel golf, you guys are in the business. You know, it's not what it was in 2001. You know, there are less golfers. You know, in other words, I have less available customers today than I had 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. How can I still get more than my share? Well, all I can do is actually try to get better every day. And that's not only in the quality of the golf courses, that's the quality of the service. That's the quality of our marketing and the extent of our marketing and trying to find golfers and not just focusing on who's been here before. I've got to get new golfers. I'm so proud that, you know, we at golfers that have come 18, 19, 20 years in a row, you know, from Minnesota. And they'll come to a different site or two sites every year and make sure they get around to the entire trail within a 5 or 6 year period. That is a great compliment to every one of our 1,000 employees. But that would not happen, and we would be losing market share instead of gaining market share if we weren't constantly focused on getting better at everything that we do.
Well, and it also helps to have, as you mentioned, a big hitter lodging partner, Marriott, Renaissance, Autograph Collection. It really helps turn the trail into more than just a golf destination. It's a full-fledged vacation destination, you know, because each stop has lodging, pool complexes, food and beverage, you name it. So, you know, I think the trail, people might not realize the trail caters to families. It caters to non-golfers as well. And now you've even got the spa trail.
Yeah, we've got 6 world-class spas now. We just opened the latest one in our Auburn Opelika facility, Grand National. And it is spectacular. And I believe it's Spa Magazine. Within the community of spa managers, I believe it's kind of like the Golf Digest Gold Medal. You know, the spa managers around the country have voted all of our 5 existing spas, you know, in the top 25 in the country, which then, you know, attracts different demographics of customers to the state who are looking for a 360 degree experience beyond the golf course. And when you look at the food scene in Alabama is an incredibly overlooked aspect of the experience here as well. You know, there's one restaurateur here in Birmingham, Frank Stitt and Highlands Bar and Grill, and two other restaurants here, world-class renowned. I mean, his restaurant was named, you know, best restaurant in America last year by the Beard Foundation. But built around that in Birmingham and places like Auburn, we have unbelievable fine dining and fun dining in every one of our locations that, you know, and it's fun to refer people, you know, even if they're staying at one of our hotels where we'd love to have them have dinner with us every night they're there. When we can get them to see a world-class restaurant that's regarded as the best in the country and visit the Highlands Bar and Grill in Birmingham or Acre in Auburn, it really just extends the value of our brand throughout the golf community and the travel community.
I'm glad you mentioned Acre in Auburn, Opelika. One of my favorite meals I have had any time in the last 5 years. I came on and talked with Mitch at length about it after I got back from that trip from Alabama.
It's hard to walk away from there going, I can't wait to come back, isn't it, Darren?
Oh, man, it's an unbelievable place. I think some golfers, well, you alluded to this earlier that there's a lot of variety. And you mentioned the short courses. You mentioned that Ross Bridge is the only property that, you know, had just an 18-hole course. But you have, you know, you have properties with multiple courses, multiple nines. The use of the short courses really long before destination resorts realized, hey, golfers want to keep playing golf, so let's give them something besides just 18-hole courses that take up 5 hours a day. It seems like Dr. Bronner and Robert Trent Jones were catering to millennials with the shorter attention spans long before we ever knew what millennials were.
Well, it was kind of a bold concept in 1992, you know, to include 7 short courses in your original plan. In other words, our 54-hole complexes at that time, they all have 2 18-hole championship courses and an 18-hole par 3 course. And we have 36-hole facilities that have 27 championship holes and a 9-hole short course. And it's kind of brilliant when you think about it, because you're trying to attract golfers that are going to fly in or drive in. And I have a group that, you know, I work with. It's coming in October, and I'm working with their travel. And I don't get to manage a lot of them, but, you know, some friends from around the country, they'll call me directly. And when are you flying in? Well, we're flying into Atlanta. We're going to get there at just about noon. You know, well, great. You can get to from the Atlanta airport. You can get to our Grand National facility in Auburn in an hour and a half. So by the time you get your rental car, your luggage together in October, I can get you 18 holes on your short course on the day you fly in, even though you didn't get to Atlanta until noon. And they can, in two hours and 15 minutes, play one of the most dramatic golf courses you've ever seen, and it's all par threes, and it's spectacular. And we have a little bit of that at 7 out of our 11 locations, and it's so fun. And they can do it on the way out, or you can get one of those, you know, emergency 18s in, you know, where nobody's satisfied with how the bets turned out. And you can run out there, and like I said, in 2 hours, or in one of our 9-hole short courses in a little over an hour, play off all the bets. It's just so fun. And they were built with the same design, philosophy, and quality as our championship golf courses.
You're talking about design and the design of the short courses, but which all makes total sense to me. And like Darren said, to have it before anybody really thought about doing this says something about Dr. Bronner, about Robert Trent Jones, and everybody that was involved. Look, could we just touch for a second on Robert Trent Jones and the Jones family? Because obviously the architect pedigree in that family is fairly strong. When all this was kind of going on at the beginning, or even after that, were Robert Jr., were Reese involved at any point on any of the courses?
No, they always had, at that time, and I think it was probably for 10 or 15 years before that time, they had 3 separate companies. And basically they had agreed to different territories, so to speak. So, Mr. Jones had his own company, and Reese and Jr. did as well. And Mr. Jones and his design team, you know, which was Roger Rule, which was his lead designer for, I believe, 28 years, were the sole design team for the trail when we were built. And then when Mr. Jones passed away, Roger took over his, you know, he had his own company after Mr. Jones Sr.'s company disbanded after his death, and then Roger stayed with us for quite a while on redesigns and so forth.
Mm-hmm. I'm really familiar, and you know this, having been to Myrtle Beach, but one of my favorite tracks in Myrtle Beach, Grand Dunes Resort, and a really spectacular golf course, was Roger's work.
Yep. So Roger did a great job there. And Mr. Jones did a pretty good job on the dunes as well.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was all right. I mean, I obviously, most people know about Robert Trent Jones Sr., but it's always interesting. And Darren and I get a chance to talk to a lot of architects and about this all the time, that it's surprising how many great architects who had hands on a lot of courses people just aren't familiar with. You know, and I think Roger is one of those guys.
Well, every one of the name architects, you know, you can rattle them all off. They don't get it done by themselves. And I've been fortunate enough to work with a few of them myself. And it's always nice when the name visits, But the guy getting the work down on the ground, you know, after the CAD work that's being done in the office and the name, the guy on the ground, you know, I work more closely with Roger than any other architect I've ever worked with. And, you know, Roger was in the mud, you know, for every one of these, and sometimes up to his knees. And every architect has that guy.
Yep, definitely. John, as we come to a close, I have two questions. The first might be a little like trying to choose a favorite child. I want to know, just you personally, I mean, you get out to all these sites. Do you have favorite holes, one or two or three, on the entire trail that when every time you're out there, you think to yourself, wow, this is just something every golfer should see?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard for me to come up with you know, favorite sites. Every one of them has something so different. You know, and I'll go back to basically the, you know, the first hole that I saw being built on the trail was the first hole on the Judge at Capitol Hill, which is just a spectacular site. And you know, we tee off basically 180 feet above the fairway, and there's the Alabama River on the right of the fairway and behind the green, and you can see the second fairway in the distance. It's just really a beautiful sight. But then, yeah, I go every time I go to Auburn and Grand National, which is all built around, you know, we've got 54 holes there, including the short course, all built around Lake Saugahatchee, which is a 600-acre lake. And we've got, I believe it's 38 of the 54 holes, you know, somehow touch the lake. And it's so natural. It's such a beautiful setting that I love it. And then, you know, I'm spending a lot of time at Lakewood, which is our 36-hole basically resort / private facility at the Autograph Grand Hotel down in Point Clear. And we got the original Perry Maxwell 18 holes there that was built in 1947 that we've modernized, okay, but still retains that character, that Perry Maxwell character. And I just love that facility. It's just so fun because it's not, the dog, we're redoing the Azalea course now, but the Dogwood course, you just can't get up there and, okay, blast the driver. If you want to hit driver, you're going to have to move it one way or the other. If you don't, you know, you've got a 400-year-old live oak between you and the fairway and the green, you know, and it's just, you know, it's that's the trail. It just, that's what, those three sites just, you know, to me, they epitomize the variety of design and experiences that we offer from the northern part of the state to the southern part of the state.
Well, and Lakewood is really an example of taking a property and making sure you continue to evolve it. I mean, I've been there just recently, saw the work going on both golf courses. I know they've opened up a lot on the two courses, but then they've also built a short practice, not a short course, I guess a practice facility with a little outdoor halfway house feel about it, where you can go out there and play games and putt and hit balls and do all kinds of fun stuff. And I just think more of that stuff, it's more of a community based practice facility than it is a country club or a spot on the trail. And it's just a really cool little area that they put together there.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Darren. We're so proud of that little place because we were a little bit landlocked there. But we were able to get, you know, three greens in there for short game work and putting. And then it's a mini little clubhouse up at the range with beautiful seating areas where, you know, we've got fans and or heaters for depending on what time of year. So you can sit out there, you can have a cocktail at night and watch your kids chipping and putting around the three greens. We have almost every Thursday, there's some sort of member event there where we're, you know, doing pig roasts and doing hula hoop contests. And
are you involved in that? Do we have video of you in the hula hoop contest?
You will not. You'll never see video of that. No, that's all been destroyed and will never be available. But, you know, but it's not, you know, it's, it's understanding, you know, we've got different environments. That in that environment there where we actually have a private club within a resort. In other words, the members of the club, they have the Dogwood course today and the Azalea course tomorrow. And the resort guests, you know, they switch off from day to day, so they each have that experience. And it blends very well. When you have that environment, what you can do and the experiences you can create, it's not all about hitting the golf ball or breaking 80 today. You know, it's having families introducing our tennis members down there to golf at no cost. You know, they can just come over there and use the facility and watch some kids play. And you know, we have the PGA Junior League there and five other locations where kids play for fun. That's what really gets me excited. You know, when I get to one of our locations and I see something different happening as opposed to, you know, mom and dad standing over the young person, you know, where are you at Impact? You know, you got to get the club on playing. It's not all about that. It's about golf is fun. It's supposed to be fun. And when you go to see some of our academies that we have around the trail where our teachers are teaching kids that are 6 years old, and then, you know, they start the morning session, and as I said, it is hula hoops. It's fun. It's fun. They get the kids in hula hoops. They throw footballs. They got Nerf basketball. And oh yeah, okay, we're gonna get to the golf in a moment. And just creating a fun environment that is just not, I would say, historically what is just the only way to learn how to enjoy the game of golf.
Yep, exactly. Our final question kind of goes along the same lines of the evolution. What's next for the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail? You know, as construction is on the rise again in the U.S., has there ever been any talk about adding even more golf to the trail?
It's talked about all the time. We get, you know, our biggest problem is saying no to people within the state of Alabama, because, you know, once or twice a year we have a community that really believes that building a trail site in their community would be a real success story that would help them attract tourism into their community and economic development and so forth. And we take every one of those visits seriously and we look at it. But, you know, it's I can't afford to do what Bobby did to me anymore. In other words, I can't say to Dr. Bronner, we got to go spend $20 million and I have no idea if we'll ever get any of it back, you know. In other words, we actually do due diligence now on prospective projects, and we've always thought we had a place to do some golf, some more golf construction down in the beach, down by Orange Beach and Gulf Shores and so forth. But it's just when you look at the prospectus and what it would take to be successful, there is no return on it right now. And that's more of a sign of the total golf market than it is, you know, what we would like to do. In other words, what we see is we've been able to hold, you know, we lost a significant amount of rounds the first couple of years, you know, after the market crash in 2008, 2009, 2010, you know, it was tough. It was really tough. But we've clawed our way back to where we're doing as many rounds as we were before then now, and not a lot of markets can say that. So we've got to, you know, we make smart businesses when it comes to that now. And it was able to grow. It was easy to grow early when golf was, you know, if you build it, they actually did come. And now it's okay. If you build it, you better build the right product in the right place. And on the trail, there's probably only a couple other places in the state that are possibilities for us, but we're always open to it. You know, we're not saying never. It's just it has to be the right product, the right piece of property at the right time.
Well, the decisions that have been made up to now have obviously been the right ones, and I don't think there's any golfer out there that isn't A, impressed if they've been there, or B, dreaming about getting down there. Darren has been there. I have not been there. And so I'm one of the dreamers. and really hoping to get down there soon. And I, given that, you know, in the late 90s, sometime you were living what you said was living the good life. And now, all this time later, 20 years later or so, you are the voice of passion and pursuit of excellence for the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail. And I can't think of anybody, seriously, to be a better voice for what you've all built down there. And congratulations on all that. And here's to many more years of great things happening. We're thrilled you've taken time to be with us on the show.
Thanks for the kind words, Mitch. It's easy to be passionate about something you truly, truly love to do and are proud to be a part of. So to both of you, Darren, Mitch, thanks for having me on. And Mitch, you got my number. Come.
I'll do it.
I swear we'll allow it. Okay.
I'll do it. Yeah. There's not that many places that I can say that about now. So I'll take you up.
Your reputation does precede you.
Oh boy.
Well, it's only just if you bring Ava. That's the
well. That's here. Welcome to my life for the last 25
yeah.
years.
Yeah, I know. There's a reason for that. You know.
I know. Right? All right. Well, good luck along the way, Darren. I obviously will be talking to you soon. If you want more information about the trail or if you're looking to plan a next golf getaway, which obviously we think you should down to Alabama, visit rtjgolf.com.
And as always, we have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. Be sure to check out all the content that's posting each week at golftripx.com and reach out to us at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Mitch and I just love talking travel with our friends on social media. So, you know, hit us up because we've had a lot of interesting discussions going on in the past few months. And we just love kind of seeing where everybody's head's at when it comes to the places that they love going.
That is absolutely the truth. 1992, Dr. David Bronner had a dream. And with people like John Cannon along to help him see that through, we now have the RTJ Trail. So I hope that you out there have some dreams, and we hope you go run them down. We'll talk to you soon. So long.